You are listening to the Legal Community Podcast, hosted by Guy Remond and Dave Zampano, powered by Guider. Guider provides self-service online legal documents supported by your local attorney. Fast, affordable, and in your own time. For more information and resources, please visit guider.legal and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Legal Community Podcast. I'm Lisa Rozier, joined with Dave Zampano, Guy Remond, and our special guest today, Scott Blanford. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
All right. So I know that you and Dave have had some time together prior to you joining our podcast. So Dave, any words before we learn about Scott?
Yeah, I think what's important about Scott to this call today, this is a Legal Community Podcast, and as many people know, Guy and I co-authored a book called The Digitization of Law, How to Transform Technology Disruptions into Abounding Opportunity, where we really talk about what does it mean to digitize the practice of law? What does it mean for our law practices going forward? How do many lawyers are afraid of it. Many lawyers are embracing it. So why are we talking to Scott? Well, Scott's the guy that's not only done this, but his 20 years in a very similar industry, the financial services industry. And that's the critical piece here that I think Scott brings to the listeners, is to share his journey and the impact it had on the financial services industry, how maybe some of their ideas, what they thought it was going to be in the beginning versus how it turned out. I think he'll share much more favorable than anyone had thought. But again, they had a 20-year jump on the legal industry. So hopefully he can share some insights around what we can expect as we continue to digitize our practices.
Yeah. And really quick for our loyal listeners, you and Guy have mentioned Scott's name in previous episodes. So it's great to have you join us today. So
yes. And that's what we thought. It'd be good to hear from the horse's mouth himself. So Scott, I would think, would you describe a 2-minute resume to share, your experience, and then we can get into some really chatting about your experience and how you think it plays forward.
Yeah, sure. Sure thing, Dave. And it's great, really great to be with you all. I started my career as an engineer in college for quite a long time. There's lots to learn in engineering, and then in financial services as a software engineer, a software architect, a project manager, a division manager, working for a bunch of great financial firms. I spent 11 years at Fidelity Investments, 4 years at Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. And then 11 years at the Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association, also known as TIAA. Some of the listeners may know it as TIAA CREF. I've been so fortunate to have had a great career with some fantastic firms that have done so much to help people with their investments. In some ways, I like to think I had a front row seat at the digital transformation of this great industry. When I started, there were stockbrokers working with clients, and you'd open the newspaper to look at a stock price, yesterday's prices. And boy, things have come a long way since then. And I was fortunate enough to be part of that whole change. And I can tell you, Dave, a little bit to your comments. I know we've talked about this before, you and Guy and myself, that it's not true that every single part of the industry really embraced digital when it started. There were a lot of people that were scared of it. What is this going to mean for me? Is this going to get in between me and my clients? What does it mean? There's so much change happening. But I can tell you on the backside of it that it's been great. What the big digital change has allowed to happen is our financial advisors and people that help customers with money, they spend more of their time doing the things that are special to them and less of their time doing administrative work. And the clients now have 24/7 access to the administrative information that they want and need. And so I think, on the other side of the big change, every participant has won out.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective, Scott, because again, lawyers, I think by trade, by training and by trade, we kind of resist massive changes, particularly when it seems like it would devalue our services, which I assume is the same thing the financial advisors went through in the early years. You alluded to that a little bit in your brief introduction. As we sit here, and from my recollection, you had a 20-year run really in the software side of the development of what we now know as financial services online. How do you see that playing in the legal world?
There's been a real reckoning of where the value is. And what the digital changes forced every participant to do is to really understand where their value is. You know, Dave, you had said people are worried this is going to devalue their work. And I think it's quite the opposite. It's allowed people to have to identify where their value really is. Is, you know, in my business, is my value a customer calls in and wants to know the stock price of IBM from yesterday? That's not a super valuable service for a person to provide, somebody who's a deep financial expert. That's not really where their value is. Now, I've got a complicated trust question. That's something really requires a person, potentially requires deep knowledge of the customer. I think the same thing will happen in law, where the people in the legal business will have to identify where the real value is and focus there. And they're going to enjoy it more because they get to do more of the things they love. And clients are going to get more out of it because they spend more of their time working with people who love their work, and they're getting more value out of it. And the 24/7 nature of information lookups and things that the computers do really well, they'll be able to get that online or through an app. And Dave, the other thing I think we've seen over time is that line between where's the most value from a person and where do I get great value from a machine, that continues to change too.
Well, you know, I think I'm going to say something bold and radical here, and right. I'm probably going to offend some of the listeners, but I don't think I'd be doing my job here if I didn't. I think anyone who thinks that this is going to devalue them is hiding. And I mean the word hiding, they think their value is in their administrative. They think their value is in their unique and different. I mean, if I had a dime for every time someone said, well, it's not like that in my town. I'm in Bodunk or I'm in wherever, insert whatever the name is. And all, I have dealt with lawyers, training lawyers in their practice management for in excess of 20 years now on a national scale. And I've heard it 1,000 times. And they go two paths. One is if you think you're right or you think you're wrong, you're right. Right. And so it's all what you see. And I think some people might be hiding behind that, but I think you're a true testament that technology is whoever thought we wouldn't be using taxis. Right. Whoever thought you wouldn't be using hotels. Right. So we can say, and you know, get all disarrayed and anxious. But I think that's not where we have to focus our energies, because I think what you said, and I think what's ahead for us is really what does distinguish us as lawyers, what does distinguish us as legal professionals is really not our administrative. I think it's two things. It's A, it's our process, and B, it's our knowledge. You know, how we can relate our knowledge to a particular set of fact patterns that technology can do as well. And it is doing it already. AI, you know, we have the old computers, what was it, 15 years ago, you know, that went on Jeopardy. And, you know, so I think this is an opportunity for lawyers who are saying, you know, this is bad or this scares me, to do a system reset in their mindset. And again, your experience, I'm sure that as what are some of the, let's go to the digital world and talk about, you know, the stuff Guy geeks out about. What have you seen change on that side of the world that you think might make it a little easier for the lawyer transition than maybe the financial professional transition that's happened over the last 20 years?
I think you can look at the changes that we've been through, especially recently here, in three big categories. You've got customers are changing. So every customer now is basically a technology customer. You know, they might be a customer of a law group in a town, but they're also more than likely a technology consumer where they download apps, they have multiple logins to multiple different services. So they are now today very practiced at managing a host of digital relationships in addition to their relationship with their legal team. And that's different. I mean, it's been coming for a while, but the fact that everybody's got the joke now, they all administer their home networks. They're all, you know, in the past, you could say, well, I don't know, you know, older people in different geographic areas, they may be not so digitally savvy. That's over. Everybody's online. The second big category of changes are competitors. You see non-traditional entrants in just about every market where people are coming in and challenging the status quo. you know, in financial services, we don't have to worry just about other financial firms. It's non-financial firms who have added, you know, for example, big box stores who have added banking to what they do. So you have to worry about, you know, digital allows other people to jump into your space. You know, Dave, so for your listeners here, you know, what other law services, legal services could be provided? By people who aren't.
They're called self-help websites. Yep.
Yeah. And then lastly is the technology is changing a lot too, in that almost the hardest job to hire for nowadays is a software engineer. They're in such high demand globally because everyone's digitizing everything. There's this old 10-year-old Mark Andreessen quote that software is eating the world. And software is eating the world, and we don't have enough engineers. And what's happened is you've seen a concentration of the engineering talent in the big firms, the big tech firms. So at a time where everything's being digitized and learning how to be digital is important for the survival of every business, there's a concentration of the people that can make that happen in the hands of big tech. And you see the rise of these sort of big platforms. So, you know, Apple is more than just a brand, more than just a manufacturer. It's a platform that you can contact a lot of different ways, a lot of different channels, a lot of different devices, the same with Facebook and Google. So you see a big concentration of tech talent there. So I would say those three things, you know, customers are all digital customers now, competitors have all digitized, and that's allowed non-traditional competitors to come into your space. And the technology has changed to make it very easy for people to become digital. And you've seen this giant concentration of talent in the big tech firms.
And Scott, you would think that the past couple of years has been a fast forward. It was kind of going along, and then all of a sudden it was like full speed ahead. To your point about customers, grandparents weren't on the cell phones and whatnot, and the pandemic hit and it's
Scott. Worse. Yeah. But Scott, I quote you all the time on one thing you said. You were a keynote speaker at my event, I think last October, and you said something that just stuck with me. So I'm gonna restate that and get your opinion. Then I want to come back to the digital comment. You said, in today's world, people don't want to talk to you until they want to talk to you. I almost thought you said it by mistake. And then as I listened to it, it was brilliant, really, right? You think about it, lawyers think they're immune, but every lawyer listening, I want to ask them a question. The last time they bought a car, or the next time they're buying a car, are they going to a dealership? Are they going to go down the dealership row? Hell no. They're going online. They're doing their research. They're going to even do the price shopping online. And it won't be to the last minute where they'll maybe call one or two and then show up and buy. And at the end, you know, now you don't even have to show up and buy. Carvana will drive it to your doorstep. As you said, people are disrupting space in every area of our world. So how do you see that translating to lawyers, especially like litigation and say estate planning? You know, we already know how it's impacting that because of the, you know, non-legal websites. But again, that's what Guy and I have made a big push to protect lawyers in the Guider platform so that it is that same digital technology, but through law firms only. So what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, Dave,
people don't want to talk to you until they want to talk to you.
Well, I love that idea. People don't want to talk to you until they want to talk to you. And the last part of it is, and then they really want to talk to you. So there's a set of things where I really don't want to be. We live in the attention economy. Everybody's busy, overstressed. I'm trying to manage too much. People don't check their voicemail anymore because there's just too much inbound all the time. Human beings have changed. So I want to get what I'm trying to do, get it done quick. Unless I really need a person. And then what you see in people and customers is then the switch flips where once I conclude that my issue is too complicated or too sensitive that I really want to talk to a person, I don't want to wait on hold at all. And so that the line's always moving about what I'm willing to do myself versus when I want to talk to somebody. But it's really that you see this bifurcation of if it's the kind of thing I ought to be able to do myself and your website doesn't support it, I am super frustrated.
Yeah, I think they check you off the list a lot quicker, right?
Yeah.
You know, if your website's not up to basic minimum expectations, in real time. Everybody wants everything in real time. They don't want to talk to anybody. They want things in real time. Let me transition it to that next powerful question that I think is important to understand, because we throw out this word digital, you know, in the name of our book, The Digitization of Law. What the hell does it mean, digitization, digital? How is that different from virtual, traditional? What makes something digital?
So the way I think about it is it's digital if the machines are doing it. And that's a pretty simple definition. And so one flavor of that is customers can interact directly with a provider using web, mobile, conversational, on the phone, you name it.
Text, email, all that type stuff.
Using machines. But the other way, just as important, is working with a person who's augmenting what they can do with digital. So it's like a bionic person. So the tech really helps both sides of it. Direct, giving a real person like superpowers, for example. And Dave, just circling back real quick to something you said earlier, I think one of the things that's happened that we don't talk too much about is there's now a radical transparency to everything. And right, where in the legal profession, customers would have questions that they would have no way of getting an answer unless they talk to an attorney. You know, the world we're in today is they can get an infinite number of answers to any question. So the job of the legal team changes a little bit. It's not providing the one answer to somebody, because the person probably comes into the conversation with 100 answers already. It's understanding them and helping them navigate. You know, in this radical transparency, it's not providing more information. It's helping me navigate the information overload I already have.
You know, it's funny. I became a grandfather for the first time 6 months ago. And I tease my daughter because my wife and I, we don't know what we're doing. They have Google to tell them how to raise kids and what to do and what not to do. And I just shake my head and say, wow, it's really invaded every aspect of our lives. You know, common sense is kind of like by the wayside. I can make a comment, or my wife will make a comment. It's nope. I haven't read anything about that anywhere. And it's like, okay. You know, so I think that's true. I want to highlight the digital because I make one further distinction, and maybe there's a better way to state it. That early part of digital is yes, email or texting, because that's what I call digital support, meaning it's supporting two humans interacting. When I think of the digitization of law, what we've done in the Guider platform, for example, is we've actually replaced the human part of it with technology so that consumers can go in, ask a series of questions and get answers that they would have gotten if they talked to me directly, but they're talking to a computer because we've built all those algorithms that we know typical questions and patterns of questions and things of that nature. How do you distinguish that type of digitization where it's actually eliminating the human element of it, but the human element of it is maybe built in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key distinction is you've taken some of what humans can do and contributed it into a software product. So it's still there. It's just been infinitely replicated, if you will. And I think that's been a key part of digitization, whether it's stockbrokers or travel agents or newspapers. You know, all those things have a shared characteristic of things people used to do that became established patterns they were able to codify and have engineers put up on a platform. And that line's always changing, and it's going to continue to change as the computers get smarter and the patterns become more established, industries mature, more and more of it's going to get contributed into the software. But I do think it raises an important question for Dave, for your listeners, is what's going to become increasingly important is the value of a brand. So the fact that I know I can get legal answers anywhere, but I also know Guider is dependable and that the people that invented it and manage the platform are bona fide and it's true and real and certain.
Yeah.
That sort of distinction gets more and more important because digital allows everybody to flood into the market.
Yeah, you never know when you're getting good information or bad, really, because there's just as much bad out there as good. It all depends on how they appear, not what's real. I think that's true, especially when it comes to legal profession. I'm going to give you the last word, and here's what I would tantalize in your last word. We've seen tremendous growth digitally in the financial services industry. You were part of that from the beginning to date. You highlighted in this conversation that even that has been exponential just since that's all been built. Now, even that's transformed in a whole new way of interrelating. What's your advice to the lawyer who's listening that's still a wee bit apprehensive or a little unsure about where they sit in all this thing of transformation?
I would just say it's coming and you should get ready and embrace it. You know, with COVID, Dave, there's this great stat that 3 or 4 months into COVID, it was true that 40% of online banking customers were new to online banking since COVID hit. And those are folks that had put off doing online banking, bill pay, et cetera, as long as they could until they had no other choice but to do it. And they're never going back. And those same people, that same thing's going to happen across every industry. And I think instead of being nervous and scared and worried about it, what does this mean for me? It's embrace it, because there is a giant
part of the wave.
Yeah, be part of the wave.
Also, be ready.
Yeah, having done this for 25 years, it's fun.
Yeah, it's being ready. I think that's the key thing. Hiding and being afraid doesn't serve anything. Engaging it and preparing for it and becoming part of it. And you know what we even say in the book is it's necessary for lawyers to be part of it. Yeah. We need the lawyer's input. Otherwise, a few are going to have say in what it looks like. And that's where I think the more actively people get involved, the more flexibility can be built into some of these platforms. Well, Scott, it's always great to talk with you. I'm sure we'll talk with you again. Lisa, do you have any closing thoughts or comments?
No, not at all. But of course, I'm sure our listeners want to know how they can get in touch with you, Scott, if they have any additional questions. So where do you want to direct them?
Oh, sure.
LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn. That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you again for your time. And I'm sure we'll have another round of time with you when Guy can join us. Unfortunately, he was on for our listeners. He was on and then the internet service wasn't good to leave off. Thank you again for joining us, Scott and Dave. As always, great conversation today. And for our listeners, don't forget, you can go to guider.legal and click on the Legal Community Podcast to listen to additional episodes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Community Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at guider.legal for more information, and please review and share this show. We'll see you next time.